How do you do? There's a kind of futility about life, working to gather riches that someone else inherits. The young man in this story had his own business, the freedom to do what he wanted, a beautiful wife and family, yet death would tear it all away. He wept at the vanity of it all until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
How soon is dinner?
Ask Sue. She's making the home meal for us.
Sue?
About an hour, Ray.
It's time to go to the beach, then. I have a new board I want to try.
You do love to surf.
Almost as much as I love you.
Then don't be late.
Mum can raise a flag.
What flag?
He can see our house from the beach, so I raise a flag when dinner's ready.
And I expect you to do the same after we're married.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Come on, Judy. Let's hit the beach. Geordie, wait! Geordie, come back! Geordie, come back! Geordie!
From the crossroads of America, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Providing a temporary home for the homeless is only the beginning of Pacific Garden Mission's help. A place to shower and sleep, nourishing meals, fresh clothing. These things help those without homes know that somebody cares. Many somebodies who send financial gifts to keep the light burning in the old lighthouse. The mission gives hundreds of men, women, and children the chance to adjust attitudes and behavior, things that led to their condition. Pastors and counselors at the mission share the good news, introducing them to a whole new way of life. And someone who has the power to turn their lives around. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3115 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What happened?
Philip, he ran in front of the car. I think he's dying.
He's still breathing. Come on. Get in the car. We'll take him to a vet. Easy. Easy.
Blood is coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Don't die, Geordie. Hold on, Geordie. Don't die.
The man in our story was 18 years old when this accident jarred his life, making him question many things. This is the story of where the answers took him. It's the true testimony of Ray Comfort, right now on Unshackled.
I was born and raised in New Zealand with an older brother and a younger sister. Mum was Jewish, and her family was horrified when she married a Gentile. But they were great parents and had a wonderful marriage. Dad was a carpenter, laid back and friendly, but sometimes irresponsible. He started jobs around the house that he never finished, distressing Mum. One day she found a suitcase full of unpaid bills, and she sought ways to pay them.
I can't believe it. I thought he paid these bills. What on earth did he do with the money?
Hello?
Hello, Aunt B. How are you?
Fine, Esther. You seem upset. Is something wrong?
I called to see if I can borrow some money.
Of course. What's happening, Esther?
Well, we've got a small crisis, but I'll pay you back.
How much do you need?
Mum repaid my aunt by sewing draft stoppers, 3-foot-long tubes made of cloth. I helped her pour sawdust into them. Although we kids had the usual chores, which taught us to be responsible, my childhood was very happy. Friends and I built tree huts. When we got bored, we raided orchards nearby and stole apples and other fruit. The stolen fruit tasted sweeter than the ones at home. However, there was a gang at school, and because I was small, they targeted me.
what's wrong? Why is your wrist bandaged?
A boy fell on me during football practice.
Did the nurse look at it?
No. The teacher said it was just a sprain.
Does it still hurt?
Yeah. Hurt so bad when it happened. I couldn't even cry. She told me to rip the bandage tight and go to the restroom and wet the bandage. But it hurt so much I couldn't even lift it to the sink.
I'm taking you to the doctor as soon as your dad gets home.
My wrist was broken. I don't know why the gang at school targeted me, but their dislike hurt as much as the broken wrist. They had been my heroes. One day they held me when one of them kicked a football at me. The ball missed, but their rejection didn't. Mum and Dad both believed in God, and we had a Bible around the house, but we never read it or went to church either. Nevertheless, I learned some things about God. Look what I got at school today.
A New Testament.
With Psalms and Proverbs from the Old Testament. Some men came to school and gave them out.
When I was in school, a minister came and taught scripture. They always sent me out of the class.
They did?
Yes, it was very humiliating. I really wanted to stay.
I know the Lord's Prayer.
Who taught you that?
Aunt Bee, when I was visiting her. I've known it since I was 10.
You memorized it?
Yep, I say it every night. It's like a sleeping pill. I can't go to sleep until I've prayed. I had ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and I didn't like school. Learning was too challenging. But we lived across the street from the beach, and I discovered surfing when I was 13. My uncle had an old wooden surfboard that was so long, the front end got there 10 minutes before we did.
Where'd you get that dinosaur, Ray?
My uncle.
It's big as a bus. We can all ride on it. Think you can balance on it?
I'm gonna try.
That thing will make its own wave.
Look out, Ocean. Here I come.
That gives longboarding a new meaning.
Fantastic. What a ride.
Wait till a big wave comes and you ride the green room.
This is the most fun I ever had.
Can I try that, monster?
Sure. Have at it. Love for surfing consumed me. I got a Saturday morning job helping a bricklayer and saved enough money to buy a new surfboard. I spent every spare moment riding the waves. The school years passed, and so did I, graduating to work in a bank. I dated a few girls, but none seriously. Then, Sue began working at the bank. Her beauty made me forget every other girl. One day she had to take a document across town, so I offered to take her on my motorbike. Because she had to hold on to me as we drove, I wanted to take the long way back. During lunch hour, I would ride 6 miles to the beach and surf. And one day, Sue was waiting for me as I arrived back at the bank.
How was the surf?
Not bad. Have you had lunch?
Yes, I brought mine. Have you eaten?
I grabbed a bite.
Maybe we can share lunch sometime.
Try this, Sue. Mum made it.
Mmm, good. She's a great cook.
Don't talk with your mouth full. Didn't your mother teach you anything?
She taught me to cook. I'll come and fix dinner for your family sometime.
I'd like that.
Did you like school, Ray?
Nah, you cram your head with information and spit it out on exams. Didn't prepare me for life.
What about sports? I mean, other than surfing.
I didn't excel at anything but running. I hated to run, but I was naturally fast. I came in first in the 400-yard dash.
Were you raised as a Jew?
Nah, neither of my parents went to church. Are you a Christian, Sue?
Yes. When I was little, I heard an evangelist talk about Jesus coming back, and those who were not saved would go to hell. I was so scared, so I went forward to pray.
You went forward?
Yes, I told them that I would follow Jesus.
Are you still following him?
Well, not exactly.
We ate lunch together every day, became friends, and then started dating. We loved each other's company, and at the bank they called us lovebirds. I was still saying the Lord's Prayer every night and reading the Psalms periodically. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
I like your leather cowboy jacket, right?
Thanks. I made it myself.
You made it yourself?
Yep, fringe and all. I saw a picture of a famous surfer with one like this, and I copied it. Now all my surfing buddies want one like it.
You could start your own business.
I'm thinking about that. Then we could get married.
You're very brave to quit the bank. It's a secure job.
I'd rather have my own business, ma'am. I really like making the jackets.
Do you have enough money saved to open a store?
Yeah, right down by the beach, where the surfers spend their time. I can sell surfing gear and my leather jackets. I can make them right there.
Well, you were helpful to me when I made those draft stoppers.
It's where I learned to sew things. I finally asked Sue's dad if I could marry her.
What did he say?
He about fell over backward. He thinks I'm a heathen with my long hair and loud shirts, but he did give me approval.
You're a good person, Rye, and Sue's a fine young woman.
We're getting married next year. We already put a deposit on a little house close to my shop. Then Geordie, the family dog, was hit by a car. The driver stopped, laid his hand on my shoulder and wept as I picked up our dog and carried him home. The vet put him down the next day, and I thought about God like never before. What happened at death? What was the point of life when death waited for everyone?
In a moment, we'll hear how these questions affected Ray's future. Listening to this program, I couldn't stop shedding tears. A listener in Korea wrote the radio station there. Letters like that are common from people of every nationality as Unshackled goes out to the world in 10 languages. Translated and redramatized by nationals for broadcast in their language, these true testimonies strike a familiar chord that we all share the same fears and desires, and we all need the Lord. This ministry of His grows through your prayers. Most recently, Farsi and Albania were added, and we are praying for Portuguese, Turkish, Greek, French, Chinese, and others. Would you pray with us? From South Africa, a listener says, "Your program comes on at 1 a.m., but it's worth it for what we receive." A listener in the U.K. writes, "Unshackled shows God's dealing with us in mercy and provides tips on how to evangelize." To learn more about these ministries, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Sue and I married when we were 20. We decided to wait 3 years to have children while I built up my business, but 2 years later, our son was born. I had everything I wanted, a successful business, a beautiful wife and son, and yet I knew that death would steal it all someday. One night, I sat on the edge of my bed and wept.
You're so quiet today, hon.
Did you ever wonder about the point of life, Sue?
No, the baby keeps me too busy.
I went to see the doctor a few months ago.
Why?
I hoped he could tell me how to live longer. But he looked like death himself, smoking a cigarette.
I'm glad you don't smoke.
Every one of us is going to die, Sue. It's inevitable. I even researched what science has to offer to stop death. But they have nothing either.
Such morbid thoughts, Rye. What brought that on?
I'm not really sure. Do you mind if I take a few days off and go on a safari with some of my buddies?
Go right ahead. Call your friends. I know you'll enjoy it.
Five of us drove 100 miles north to hit the surf. After the first day, we were all exhausted and went to bed early. I picked up the Bible in my room and it opened to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, have committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Does God really see my thought life?
I had recently measured a girl's hip for a leather miniskirt she wanted and wrestled with lustful thoughts that I hated. I was happily married, and yet I found such a strong force within me that I couldn't control. So the words in the Bible shocked me, and I had to talk with Graham, one of the surfers who was a Christian. Although he never said anything to me about God, he kept a Bible in his car and didn't smoke or swear. He was in another room, so I cracked open his door.
Graham, are you awake?
Yeah. You want to talk? Come on in. Try not to wake Wilson, though.
Can you tell me what the Bible says about death? I don't understand it.
Well, the Bible says a lot about death.
Oh, you guys are talking about the Bible? I'm out of here.
Here, let me turn on the light. So you believe in God, Ray?
Yeah, I pray every night.
You do?
Yes, my aunt taught me the Lord's Prayer when I was a boy.
I never thought you'd be interested in God.
I've read parts of the Bible, the whole book of Psalms.
Amazing.
I thought about God when my dog died. It sounds kind of funny, but I did. And death doesn't make any sense. Why would God give us so many good things and then let us all die? It's crazy.
We die because we've sinned against God.
I know that I've sinned. Even as a kid, I was a thief. Graham, there's something in me that wants to do wrong, and I don't know why or what it is.
It's your sin nature.
Good description. Right now, I feel really guilty.
Well, that's because you are. It's your conscience speaking to you. Everything you've ever done is recorded in your memory bank, and God also has a record.
So what would happen to me if I died right now? What would God do with me?
Well, what do you think he should do with you?
If God sees lust as adultery, I'd end up in hell. I know I would.
You're right. Do you understand what God did for you on the cross?
You mean when Jesus died on the cross? I believe Jesus died on a cross and rose again. And I don't have a problem with him being the Son of God, but that's all I know. I don't know what it's all about.
When you sinned, you broke God's law. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid your penalty.
Why didn't I see this before? I knew he died, but I didn't know that he died for me, so I could be forgiven. That makes sense.
Let me read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You see, God's here right now in this room. If you repent and call on him for salvation, you shall be saved from hell. Do you want to pray?
Yes, but what do I say?
Whatever you want. Here, I'll turn the light off to make it easier for you.
With moonlight streaming through the window, I whispered, God, please forgive me for everything I've done. I repent of my sins against you. I know that I've sinned against you. I'm so sorry. I never understood the cross. I do now, and I want to give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me.
Ray, comfort a Christian. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Why don't you believe it?
Well, because you've always been happy with your life, self-sufficient.
I was happy, but I could see that life was chasing the wind.
Not anymore.
No. I've broken into eternity. We talked for hours that night. The next day, I didn't even want to go surfing. I just wanted to read the Bible. Something great had happened. As I read, I began to understand that death had lost its sting. I called Sue.
Hello?
Are you lonely?
Yes, I am.
Well, don't worry. God is with you.
You've never talked like that before, Ray.
You're right. I'm following Jesus now. I can't believe the joy I feel, Sue. I have everlasting life.
I could hardly believe what had happened to me. As the days progressed, I would go to sleep at night afraid the joy would be gone the next day. It wasn't. I devoured the Bible, and Sue and I established prayer times and Bible study. I waited 2 weeks to talk with my parents. First, I drew Mum aside.
What did you want to talk about, Ray?
I want to talk to you about God.
I believe in God, you know that.
Yes, I know. But God sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross for your sins. You need to give your heart to him, Mum. You need to be born again. Will you pray a prayer with me so you will go to heaven when you die?
I don't know, Ray.
Just ask Jesus to come into your life. God will do the rest.
Okay, I'll do it.
Jewish mums will do almost anything for their sons. Dad believed in Jesus, but didn't want to pray with me. I had zeal without knowledge. I didn't see that there had to be the acknowledgement of sin and God-given repentance. Mum's prayer didn't yield any fruit in her life. I made the same mistake with my surfing buddies when they came in my shop.
Hey, Ray, got any new doggers?
I found something better than surfing.
Are you talking about drugs?
No, I'm serious, man. I'm talking about Jesus.
Jesus?
Yes. You will never find true peace and satisfaction until you come to Christ. Read this booklet. You don't want to go to hell.
Yeah, no surfing there.
God has a wonderful plan for your life. It's better than your plan. But there's something keeping you from his plan. It's called sin. Jesus died for you. Just give your heart to him.
Right now?
Most of my converts were my converts, and they turned away from the faith, but I didn't realize that for several years. Word got around about my salvation, and one day an old, neatly dressed man came in my shop and congratulated me on becoming a Christian. As we shook hands, he left a $10 bill in mine. He was a 91-year-old minister, and I was a scruffy surfer. Yet we became close friends.
Back in the Great War, I was a chaplain. Men would be so scared they cried with fear. So I read Psalm 91 to them.
Psalm 91. I know that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Oh, good for you, Ray. Memorize scripture. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
To think that Jesus is the word, the living word.
That's right.
And having him in your heart keeps you from sinning.
You're pretty sharp for a new believer.
It's the Holy Spirit. I want to tell the world what the Lord has done for me. I tell anyone who comes in my shop, mostly surfers.
So I've heard. Let me buy you a mimeograph copier, the kind you turn by hand.
I can't let you pay for something like that.
Well, I insist. Please humor an old man.
What am I supposed to do with it?
Use it for the Lord's glory.
One day, I knelt on the floor of my shop and gave everything to God. My wife, my business and house, everything. The next day, a man walked into my store and said, "I just bought this building and you don't have a lease. You're out of here." The only place I could find for my shop was 6 miles away in downtown Christchurch.
How was the bus ride?
It broke my heart seeing all those people lost without Jesus. If only there was a way to reach them.
I love the way you care so much about the souls of others, Ray.
How can I not care? We are bought with a price. Jesus suffered and died for them, but I can't just walk up to strangers and start talking about the Lord.
You could hand out tracts when you ride the bus.
Yes! I can even make my own tracts. And that with the copier George gave me. I've been thinking about the racism problems in the world. All the result of sin. It's sin, not skin. That could be my first pamphlet. I wrote and printed the tract. Someone saw it and asked me to print 5,000 copies. That was the beginning of a tract ministry that is still growing. A few years after my salvation, the wife of Reverend George, who had given me the copier, called to say he was dying and ask if I could be with him. George, it's Ray. I've come to be with you.
I'm going to be with Jesus, Ray.
What an honor to be present when a saint goes marching through to glory. I wonder how he'll go, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Wow! What a way to go! When the phone rang, George sat up, and I'm the one who just about died. He lasted another 2 years. I attended his funeral. But you expect the death of a 95-year-old man. You don't expect the death of young people in their 20s. My friends, my surfing buddies, were dying.
What happened to him?
They say it was a drug overdose.
I'm so grateful we never did try drugs.
I knew they were using all kinds of drugs, but I didn't know they would die.
Was your friend saved?
He prayed with me, but he never turned from his sins. How is that possible, Sue? The new birth is radical. I think about God all the time. I want to follow him closer every day, and I'll do anything to please him.
Maybe your friend was never saved. Maybe he just said the prayer to please you. I mean, look at Judas.
There has to be something I can do. Oh, God, please, please use me to help them.
Next week, we'll learn how that prayer was answered in the conclusion of Ray's testimony. Friend, new life can be yours when you turn to the living God and ask him to save you. Jesus also said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If you need counsel in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3115. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.